Well, I'm thankful to be out tonight, this morning. I didn't think I was going to be here today. I think about being up here, and I got to be honest with you. I was coming into this meeting and feeling like I wanted to just sit back. And let everybody else do it, you know. I think about this message and it just makes me feel like I'd rather somebody else speak it. I imagine Brother Michael up here giving it, you know. Certainly want to pray for him. I feel like we need him. But it was like I was making a decision that I was going to sit back. And so I kind of asked you, can we do that? Can I do that? One of the things that I would do is the Lord can't ask me to speak if I'm not ready, right? Well, He just might. I have to say, you know, throughout the meeting, there was a day where I got nervous because I was thinking that the Lord was going to tell me to get up, and I didn't feel like I was ready. But I don't want to tell him no. And I think about Brother Marty's message, how he said that there's been times where he didn't have nothing. And the Lord blessed and gave him something that last minute, you know. And so I have to think, you know, well, Lord, if you're going to make me get up, then I'll do it. But I'm sorry that I'm not ready, you know. So it just kind of makes me think, you know, like I said, can we do that? Can I just say, Lord, you know what, I don't think it's good. I think other people are better at doing it. I think that it's more beneficial that you let them speak. You know, I think of all the people that we have in the congregation that provide their little bit, you know. And there's so many that we see all the time that we can see automatically the blessing that they are and what they provide. And I think there are so many others that sometimes we don't see as much the blessing that they provide, you know, the character that they show. You know, I'm not Brother Michael or Brother Marty or Brother Ed. But you know, the Lord doesn't want me to be. We have a Brother Ed already. You know, we already got a Brother Michael. The Lord wants to use us. You know, and although I might prefer to have someone else, the Lord didn't ask them to do it. He asked me to do it. So I pray that you guys would pray for me. I'm still trying to figure this whole thing out, you know. But I want to serve God. I don't want to serve my own ideas and my own desires and my own wants, but I want to serve the Lord. I'm thinking about this word today, and the question is how bad do you want it? How much do you want to serve God? How much does it mean to you? How hungry and how thirsty are you? You know, I think about, you know, the environment that I've been in, and most professing believers would say that you can't live without sin. That you can't overcome your habits. You can't change your nature. Really, they're saying that you can't have victory. Is that true? Is it a matter of can't? Or is it just a matter of won't? Where do people come up with these beliefs? Where do they come up with the idea that they can't live without sin? Where do they come up with that? My experience has been that the people who believe that way usually believe that way because that's their experience. Somewhere along the way, they gave up. Somewhere along the way, it got too hard. And rather than take responsibility, maybe, it was easier just to say that it's impossible or that it can't be done. Is it really a matter of can't? You know, when I was first saved and trying to live for the Lord, I was fired up, and I was reading the scripture and I was getting things from the Lord, and I didn't have a lot of influence, you know, one way or another, and that was a blessing, really. But in a lot of things, I didn't have anybody to just sit down and teach me every little thing, you know, about the Word. And about doctrines and teachings and things like that. And so I had to get it from the scripture, you know, and I really, the Lord showed me holiness, righteousness, goodness, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, these things have to be in our lives. And I would see all these things, and then I would run into somebody on the yard and professing believer, and they would dash all those things to the dirt. And basically tell me that they didn't mean anything. And that they weren't attainable. But I knew they were. I knew that it was what the Lord wanted. I knew that it was the plan of God. I never could believe that the Lord's whole plan was just to hide His face or to hide His eyes from us and deceive Himself into thinking that we're something that we're not. I just couldn't believe that. I think Brother Marty mentioned it in one of his messages. My God is bigger than that. He doesn't need to hide His face. I mean, you don't think the plan of God was much more powerful than that? Than to just hide His face? But I really believe that the experiences of people have caused them to wonder if it's even possible. Because they've struggled and they've fought. With my experience again, I fought and I struggled for a long time. I believed it. I believed that the Lord can help me. I believed that the Lord can make me everything that His Word said I should be. I knew that it could happen. But somehow I just, somehow I wasn't following through with it, you know? I was messing up somewhere. I was doing something wrong. And I found myself in a position where it seemed that I was doing well, and then next thing I know, I would stumble. And then I'd do well again. And then somewhere I would stumble. And that experience can make you think, man, it just can't be done. You just can't live holy. You just can't live righteous. You can't live pure from sin. You can't really be delivered. You can't really be free. Oh, this flesh. Oh, this nature of mine. I would hear that so much. But you know what? The Lord wants to give us victory. Titus 2. Verses 11 and 12, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." It says that we should, by the grace of God. You know, you take that scripture and put that with your, it can't be done. It's impossible. So what is God doing then? Is He asking us to do the impossible? Is He requiring of us the impossible? And then He's going to punish us when we don't follow through or we don't make it? No. It says, by the grace of God that brings salvation. His grace is what teaches us how to be righteous and to be godly in this present world. It's not impossible. You know, I was thinking about this whole idea, and it's going to be a little bit difficult for me to try to relate to you all of what I've been thinking and all that goes along with it. But I was thinking about the Old Testament, and really it's the whole Old Testament in general. But I want to kind of look a little bit at Exodus. We'll start in Exodus chapter 4. But you know the story that Moses, the Lord told Moses to go and tell the people that He was going to deliver them out of their bondage. They were in Egypt and they were in a cruel bondage. They were slaves. And the Lord gave the word to Moses and told him, "I want you to go tell my people that I'm going to deliver them. I've heard their cries. And I'm going to answer their prayer." In Exodus 4:28, it says, "And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which He had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that He had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped." Moses brought good news. You know, they were in a cruel bondage, horrible bondage. And he came with a word of hope from the Lord that they're going to be free. And they loved to hear that. They rejoiced and worshiped God at the sound of it. And I think of those who who first get saved, and they're so enthusiastic about the future and what the Lord has for them and where He's taken them and all the promises that He's made. I think of the sower and the seed. You know, the seed is sown on different forms of ground. And the production is based on the condition of the heart. But these people were happy to hear it. They couldn't wait for it. But then shortly thereafter, when Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh, we're going to read in, I think it's Exodus 6 and 6. Moses and Aaron went before the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh said, "No, you can't go. No, you can't be free. And because you're even asking, I'm going to, you know, you guys got too much free time on your hands. All right, so we're going to make you do the same brick count, but we're not going to give you any straw. You're going to go gather your own straw." And the burden got heavier. So much so that the children of Israel cried out because of it and were angry with Moses and Aaron for the predicament that they got them in. In verse 6 it says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. At first they were excited. They couldn't wait to go. But because of the bondage, because of the continued suffering, they lost faith. They lost hope. You know, I think of all of what the Lord did and the miracles that He showed and the power, the great power that He showed, you know, and how that Israel was different. And, you know, darkness all over Egypt, and yet Israel still had light. You know, frogs and pestilences and all the things that God did and showed them. And in it all, He did deliver them. He brought them out. But you know that their faith still wavered? They got out and they were thirsty and cried out against God. That God had led them into the desert to make them die of thirst. Or they got hungry. And the Lord, it was always the Lord's fault, you know? And the Lord drew them on. He led them on and He gets them to the land that's waiting for them. The land that He had promised. The land that flows with milk and honey. And in Numbers 13. Verse 30. They came and they brought an evil report of the land. Not that the land wasn't good, not that the land wasn't all of what God had said it would be, but they brought an evil report of who was in the land and how strong they were. And he says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. We be not able. We can't. We just can't. Is it really a can't? In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again, by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, and one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain, and came into the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. When I think about that verse, what really just comes out to me is, ye would not. You would not. I think of Jesus, and I think he was coming into Jerusalem, and he said, oh, that I would gather you as a hen doth gather his chicks, but you would not. How bad do we want it? The children of Israel had the land right before them. Like I said, the Lord had done so many miracles in their lives. So many things had happened prior to this. You know, the Lord had shown himself faithful and true and powerful. And I mean, he did things that were miraculous that you would think were impossible. And were impossible if you look at it with regards to man. But then they get to the land and all of a sudden, they just can't. Right? It just can't. We can't do it. We can't overcome them. They're too big. They're too strong. They got fenced cities. They got chariots. They got horses. They're more powerful than us. They're stronger than us. And the truth of the matter was, is they were right. But what they forgot about was that God was with them. You know, I think of my struggles going along and trying to achieve righteousness, trying to gain purity, trying to get holiness. But you know, all my getting and all my trying and all my seeking to achieve was really just effort of my own. That was where I failed time and time again. Because I thought that these things were to be obtained by my own physical strength, my own physical ability. I felt like the responsibility was mine. You know, like I just got to knuckle under and resist and fight. And I tried so hard. For years I tried, knuckling under, trying over and over. I thank the Lord that I didn't give up. Even though I failed many, many times. And many, many times repented and asked the Lord, please help me. I just don't know where to get the strength to do this. I just don't know where to get the strength to serve you the way you say I should. I see it in your word. I see that you promised it. The Lord promised them the land. It was for their taking. He never said that they had to do it by their own might or by their own power. He says, not by might or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, right? And so that was where I failed, is that I didn't know how to surrender to the Lord these things. I didn't know how to let Him fight my battles. I didn't know how to free myself from my own activities or my own works. You know, we gain salvation. We gain what you would say justification. In what way? By faith. That's right, by faith. And, you know, I entered that door so willingly and so easily. You know, I believe the Lord has forgiven me. I believe the Lord has cleansed me and washed me and my past is gone. And I thank God for that. But you know, there was another step. I was telling somebody a while back that when I first got saved, I went to the Lord because I had a huge guilt, a huge weight on me. I needed to be free of my sin and the guilt of it and the heavy weight of it, the burden that I carried of my sin. And I went to the Lord really for relief and for forgiveness. And He gave that to me. But you know, that was just the first step, like Brother Philip always says. That's just the first step. I didn't do the second step. You know, I got saved, and I wanted to be free of the guilt and the shame and everything that went along with my life and the sins that I committed. But you know, I didn't really think about serving God. I just wanted to be forgiven of God. You know, I just wanted to have Him be okay with me. You know? But it's a whole different thing to say that I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, we can ask God to forgive us, and I believe He does. But He wants us to serve Him. We can't skip the second step. You know, I was talking earlier about, can I? Can I just decide that I'm not going to speak? Lord, I'm going to keep my seat. I'm just going to let someone else do it, you know? I'm sure that everyone will be blessed by it. And I'm sure that you'll, you know, you'll accomplish your purpose and your word will go forth in power and it'll produce what you sent it for. But can I do that? Not and serve the Lord. I don't get to decide. You know, I think about people that tell me, you know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not this or I'm not that. All right. Maybe you're not. But what are you then? You know, if somebody's just telling me what they're not, then I kind of wonder if you don't know what you are, then how do you know what you're not? And to me, that's just like saying, you know, I'm not this, is like saying, I'm not going to get up. That's like saying that I'm in control of this thing. I decide. So it might just be, I won't be a preacher. Or I won't be a missionary. But we don't like to say it that way. Right? Because that's a rebellion on our part. And so we might say, you know, I can't. Because can't takes the responsibility off of us. You know, when you say you can't, You know, how can I require somebody to do something when they just absolutely can't? That would be unjust of me. Right? To require something of you if you just simply can't. But the truth of the matter is it's not about can't. Because we're dealing with a God in heaven who has power and ability beyond what we can imagine or even think. And are you going to say that he can't? You know, I think of Moses, and the Lord told him, I want you to go speak. And he said, you know, I can't, Lord. I can't do it. I don't have a good speech. Or, you know, we might say, you know, I'm not very knowledgeable, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. Does that glorify God at all? Does that bring honor to his name? You know, we may consider that a form of humility, but is it? Is it just a denial of the power of God and our willingness to serve in whatever capacity he chooses? It says the Spirit gives the ability. The Spirit decides what gifts we have, and he divides them severally as he wills. We don't get to decide. We just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to serve you. We're servants unto God. And that means whatever you should choose, Lord, whatever you should decide that you would have me do or to have me be, I'm in your hands. You know, I had to come to a place where I had to get my hands off. I'm thankful that I was able to finally get to talk with somebody. About what it really means to be sanctified. You know, sanctification is no different than justification and how you receive it. It's by faith too. And that's where I missed it. Because I was trying to achieve it. I was trying to clean myself up. I was trying to purify myself. And really, I just needed to have faith in God. And trust him at his word and know that he's faithful and that he can deliver me. You know, I look at the things in my life and they were too big for me. Too strong. Too powerful. You know, I talk about, you know, what's in the darkness into the world and that we don't really know what we're messing with out there. That spiritual darkness is more powerful than us. The draws of sin are more powerful than us. We can't get out there and think that we're going to dabble around in sin and come right back out and just be okay, you know. And just, well, I'll just get myself out. No, you won't. You will not. You'll find yourself ensnared. And may the Lord help you to call out to God to free you from the bondage that you found yourself in. Because it's only by the Spirit of God, it's only by God that we're going to be delivered. It's only by Him that we're going to be pure and holy and righteous. It's only by Him that we're going to overcome the sin that comes on us each day or each hour, or wherever your position in life is. It's only by the grace of God that you're going to be free. But you know, I'm thankful that the story is that you can be free. The Lord has blessed me to be free. And to tell you how He did it, I have no idea. I have no idea. I walked away from the altar with faith. The brother I prayed with gave me faith. He said, you just have to go believe. Stand on it. Believe it. The Lord said He would do it. Now believe that He has. And the Lord did it. You know, I think of people who are continuing to struggle. They're continuing to battle. They're continuing to fight for victory, to overcome the enemy. Because they have snares. And they need His help. And maybe they've been trying to do it and didn't know how. You know, didn't really know how to be free. Go to the Lord. Believe in faith. Ezekiel 36. This was one of my, one of my favorite verses. I don't know if you can really say favorites. I do it a lot, but I love the Word of God. And I'm sure there's a lot of favorites. But Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 and 27 is an encouragement to me. He says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." That's a promise. That's a promise of God. He's telling us right here that He'll do it. He will give us a new heart. He'll put His Spirit within us. If God be for us, who can be against us? If the Lord be on our part, how can we fall? We can overcome. Just as the children of Israel needed faith. Caleb, he said, "We can do it. We can go in. Let's go." He had faith. And you know, he did enter in. When they came back around the way, he got to go in. And the Lord gave him victory. But you know, the whole experience of Israel going through the Old Testament was victory to captivity. Victory to captivity. Victory to captivity. Yeah. Over and over and over again. They didn't have the power that we have today. They didn't have the Holy Spirit within them. They didn't have Jesus Christ at that time. They had faith in believing that He was to come. But they didn't have the experience that we have today. Jesus Christ opened the way to the Holy of Holies, that we can enter in. Matthew 5 and 6. Says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." How hungry are we? How thirsty are we? You know, I can think of my own experience in crying out to the Lord because I wanted it so bad, but I was coming up short. Hungering and thirsting. You know, a hungering and thirsting doesn't quit. They don't give up. You give up, you die. But to hunger and thirst means that you're gonna continue to pursue until you gain what it is that you're desiring. To hunger and thirst after righteousness, are you full right now? Are you satisfied? You know, I think about sometimes the saints that have been doing it so long and have been living this life for so long, and I wonder, are they satisfied? And I don't mean like satisfied like this way, is it satisfying? But I think of it like satisfied, or Do they have everything that they could ever ask and they have no more need? Do they have every bit of God that they no longer need to seek the Lord or desire anything of Him? You know, I've heard of old saints that on their deathbeds asking God, Lord, is there anything that would hinder me from entering in? You know, I think of Brother Dan, I think, mentioned it last night about his dad. He just wanted to be sure. Wanted to be very, very sure. Someone who served the Lord for, I don't even know how many years. I'm sure quite a while. Can we really have too much of God? Can we really be too, you know, as close as we can ever get? Do we really sit here without a need? I mean, can we really sit here and think that I don't really need anything of the Lord? Thank you, I'm good. You know, I think of myself and I want to be so much more faithful. I want to be so much more forgiving. I want to be so much more compassionate and loving and kind. I want to be so much more like the Lord. And I know that I'm not completely like Him. You know, I know there's so many saints that are so much better than I am in their character and what the Lord has done in their lives, that I can look at their example and say, you know, Lord, I want You to help me. Help me to be able to respond in a situation like that. Help me to have the humility that they show on a daily basis. Help me to have the compassion that they have, Lord, that they always have somebody to pray for. They always have somebody that they're concerned about. And they're always lifting them up. Help me, Lord, to be more like You, to have the care and the concern that You have. Ephesians chapter 4. He says, and that ye put on the new man, this is verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, there's nothing holding us back except for our own inability to believe, our own lack of faith, or our own lack of desire. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That means you can preach if the Lord wants you to. You can minister if the Lord desires it. And you can refuse. But don't think that you'll do it and it be pleasing unto the Lord. Don't think that you can forsake it and decide what you're going to do and be what you're going to be and that it be pleasing unto God. Because, you know, the Lord does not serve us. We serve Him. I pray that the Lord will help me to be all that He would have me to be. And I've heard that said quite a bit. And I believe that those who say it really believe it. And I pray that the Lord would reveal to them who they are, and that they would no longer talk about who they're not, but only seek the Lord for who they really are and who He would have them be. And I pray that He would help them to step up and be all that God has called them to be. I believe we have needs. I believe we need to come to the Lord and ask and receive and allow Him to do the things that He wants to do so much. You know, I think about the children of Israel and how they stood at the brink of the land. And the Lord was telling them, enter in. This is for you. You can have it. And the only thing that He required of them was to step forward. He said, every place that your foot trods be yours. Victory belongs to us if we'll just step forward and receive it. I would pray that the Lord would help us, Lord. Help us to step forward and receive the victory that we need, Lord. Help us to step forward and receive the direction that we need. Help us to step forward and receive the call that He has for us. To step forward and get everything that God would have us to get. And no longer say, you know what, I can't. It can't happen. I can't do it. The truth of it is no, you can't. But God can. And He will. If you'll just let Him in. Let the Lord use you. Let the Lord purify you. Let the Lord cleanse you. Let the Lord do a work in your life. Because He certainly wants to. And I ask that you all would pray for me, that the Lord would be in me all that He would have me to be. Thank you.